fighting for America.
And I think I need not remind anyone on this committee, like any American, Sergeant Bergdahl has rights, and his conduct will be judged on the facts, not political hearsay, posturing, charges, or innuendo.
Fighting for Idaho.
Hoping for the sake of the family that you all will go away and leave the family alone, let the process work, and let them get back to their normal lives.
Fighting for you.
Kevin, we cannot go on like this with nothing except speculation up in the media. I mean, he deserves better. We deserve better.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning.
I appreciate the chance to be with you again, brother. I look forward to being back out in Idaho. Thanks, Semper Fi.
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Thank you for starting your day with us. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. We always give you the news, the weather, the information, but more importantly, we love the newsmakers, and one of our favorites, he's been here since really the beginning of this program, Kerry Patton joining us. Kerry-Patton, author, video guy, national intelligence expert. Kerry, what are you up to?
Oh, you know, just keeping track on what's going on with the Bergdahl and laughing at half of the nonsense that's going on, you know, with that whole ordeal. And, you know, obviously paying attention to global affairs as I always do, but, you know, also working pretty close with those out in Hollywood right now.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Hollywood and the veterans that you care so much about.
Yeah, you know, right now Again, I'm flabbergasted at Hollywood and how much support I've seen from many out of Hollywood. I'd say the majority do support the veteran community. And, you know, it's just like anything else. Sadly enough, it's the minority who has the louder voice and gives so many others a bad name. And but I'm an advocate for those who I specifically have met in person out in Hollywood and have worked close to. I know where their hearts are, and I also understand how much they care about our community, the veteran community. And I just, you know, I want to be with one of those guys that speaks positively about Hollywood and the relationship that they're trying to have with the veteran community today.
Supporting the veterans. Do we support the veterans or not?
Do we support our veterans?
As a country.
Yeah, you know, I think what happens is the majority of Americans do support our veterans. I really do believe that. But what does support mean? Are you talking about from a spiritual, mental, you know, inner self type of support? Or are you talking about the physical of going out and doing things to really make a difference in the veteran lives? And I think that's the big question that needs to be asked. What do we mean by support any longer? Because deep down inside, I do believe mentally the majority of Americans do support the veteran community, but that doesn't mean that we're doing the proper physical needs to ensure our veterans are taken care of.
Well, see, that's what I'm saying. Everybody, I support the troops. Everybody, you know, has their good times on Memorial Day. But really, when we take a look at what's inside the Veterans Administration, there are a lot of good folks, but the paperwork, the bureaucracy, it can be tedious for someone that just needs a colonoscopy.
Yeah, way to go. That was a good one. But you're right, and that's where it gets tough, especially when you see so much fraud that's out there. I mean, there's so many veteran-friendly nonprofit organizations that exist today. But it's sad that Americans really have to vet those nonprofits because some of them are absolute scams. I'd say honestly, from what I've discovered, I think the majority are scams. When you have presidents of these nonprofits making over $300,000 a year or even $200,000 a year, and they never served a day in their life, you know, well, it's a nonprofit. Why are we paying people that much money? And I mean, but that's nonprofits in general. You know, generally speaking, nonprofits are a scam in my book. There's very few that I think really put their money where their mouth is.
Kerry Patton with us, kerry-patton.com at 580KIDO. I think of the folks at, you know, the World War II generation and after Vietnam and such that go in, that want to get their medical needs taken care of, and like we've heard about the VA scandal in Arizona and Virginia, that they have days and days of paperwork, and sometimes their needs are ignored. I mean, do we need a veterans tax? Do we need to reform the system? Is it we're spending too much money, or we're inefficient with our money for veterans?
You know, I don't know how to fix the problem. Part of me says why don't we just give veterans a card, almost like a credit card, and then they have the right to choose their medical practitioner outside of the Veterans Affairs, Veterans Administration. They don't have to go to the VA if they have this card. Let it be a card that they go to any medical practitioner who's willing to support the card, and that card basically is a direct line of communication to the federal government that would then pay out the expenses. I guess what I'm really talking about is, hey, look what's going on at the VA, and take that as a hint to all the civilians how Obamacare is really going to work. Let's go back to the private practice.
580KIDO, Kerry Patton with us here. Kevin Miller, as we move along, let's continue on here, though, with the veterans and those coming home, those that have, amputees, those that have mental problems. How are we going to integrate them back into our society? We seem to say, hey, I love the troops. Okay, get out of my way as I get on with my life.
You know, that's a really good question, because I don't know if we, quote unquote, can integrate them back into society. I think the reality is they need to determine whether or not they want to integrate themselves back into society. There's no question there are veterans out there that are physically and mentally hurting right now. But I got to tell you, I think a lot of the veterans have created self-inflicted wounds based upon their behavior when they did return home from war. And basically what happened is they dug themselves a hole, and now they realize that they dug themselves a hole, but it's too late, and they're having a really hard time getting out of it. So basically they need a ladder to climb out.
Kerry Patton with us here at 580KIDO. Kerry, we never get a chance to talk about this, but we've got you on for a while, and hopefully we can carry you for a little while here. I'd like to ask you about Afghanistan. I'd like to go in depth. You've been there. You talked to folks there. Now, all of a sudden, the two candidates running, they're going to sign the status forces agreement. We're going to keep 10,000 troops there. Tell us about Afghanistan.
Afghanistan is absolutely in shambles right now. And what really concerns me with Afghanistan, it's not what's going on there geopolitically. It's not about the coalition force. It's about what some people have done behind the scenes in Afghanistan, who will never, ever, ever get the recognition that they deserve. And I'm talking about some civilians that went overseas and created these incredible networks, operational networks, that carried out human intelligence. They helped create micro-hydro dams for electricity. Basically what they did is they created a community in Afghanistan that was really willing to work with us. And those persons, those civilians that I'm discussing, are no longer in Afghanistan, because when this administration decided they were going to cut funds, that was a significant immediate drop of funds. It went to these little programs that were, you know, really ran by civilians who were outside the wire every single day, living in safe houses and so forth. Those folks are back home now, and the Afghans who were actually really good Afghans that were willing to work with us, they're now being targeted. That's a big, big concern to me, because now the intelligence that was being collected basically every single day, day in and day out, and I'm talking about intelligence that involved the initial identification of Bin Laden's compound. I'm talking about intelligence that was created to ensure that David Rhodes, the, you know, Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist, when he was captured by the Taliban. I'm talking about stuff that these guys were involved in to see his release. I'm talking about stuff from 2009 that Bo Bergdahl, when he was initially, you know, quote unquote, held captive. People that were involved in these major events were civilians, and they are no longer in the network. They're no longer in the system in Afghanistan. And that, to me, is the biggest blow right now that has facing Afghanistan's security crisis. Because without that human intelligence, without that human network, you're only going to get so much from the DOD intelligence that's out there, because we're relying on technical intelligence. And if you're only getting a portion of the picture, then the troops aren't going to really be able to do a whole lot to better themselves and better the communities that they're surrounded by.
Kerry Patton with us at 580KIDO. Kerry, you get this all the time. What's that place like? I mean, Bob Bergdahl has compared Afghanistan to Idaho. I don't know if that's appropriate, but what is Afghanistan like? We keep hearing it called the graveyard of empires.
You know, people call it what they want, but until you step foot in Afghanistan, and more importantly, until you step foot outside the wire and spend time outside the wire, you never will really understand Afghanistan. I could tell you, I absolutely, for some crazy reason that most Americans will never fathom or understand, I love Afghanistan. I love the people in Afghanistan, the culture in Afghanistan, the scenery in Afghanistan because it's so diverse. And granted, it's exhilarating to be in this historical, quote-unquote, graveyard of the empires, you know. But it is exhilarating, and it's a rush, you know. And I don't mean that I love it to the point where I sympathize necessarily with the Afghans, but I definitely empathize with them. Think about it. How many, you know, empires, quote unquote, have tried to take over Afghanistan and they failed? I mean, Afghanistan has been in a war pretty much ever since its existence. So for anybody not to empathize with the locals, I think is a little bit deranged. And again, I'm not talking about sympathizing here. I think there's a big difference between the two words, and I think people need to understand that.
Well, maybe we'll get into that. Kerry Patton with us, kerry-patton.com. Plus your published works and everything else, 580KIDO with Kevin Miller in the morning. You know, I still wonder what's going to happen to the beautiful children that, you know, bought into us. I mean, are we frauds when we come in with our allies like we did with the Vietnamese and, oh, we're out, see ya. And now we've got the Afghanis who are educated, some of them. And, you know, when the Taliban come in or whoever comes in, it ain't going to be good for them, Kerry.
No, I agree. And that's another concern that I have. It's how many people really did support us? They risked everything to include their families. And once some of the locals were identified as working with the Americans in the coalition force, their families were targeted. And some of them actually lost family members. So, you know, I think we have an obligation to ensure those that worked with us overseas and prove that they really do want to see Afghanistan turn to a better state. And, we got one way or another, we have to take care of them. And it's sad, but I don't think we will.
No, I agree with you. Kerry Patton with us, kerry-patton.com for more information. We're going to talk about a lot of things with him as we roll today. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580KIDO. Time to get you to work safely and on time. We pride ourselves on that.
Sean Hannity, weekday afternoons at 3 on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning, Kerry Patton with us, kerry-patton.com. Kerry, what type of world do we live in now, let's say, as opposed to 3 years ago? You're an intelligence expert. You talk to the folks. You've been in the field. You publish stories about the real lives of real folks. Are we safer or not so safer from 3 years ago?
You know, again, I think that's a matter of perception, and it definitely has to do with a matter of where we live at. I will say geopolitical tension globally has definitely increased. The United States has been looked down upon via multiple nations and their leaders over the recent years. Our foreign policy is absolutely broken. We had some pretty interesting and decent cohesive ties with certain nations that they're really on the break right now, possibly you could say on the tipping point of collapse. If you look at hypothetically a state like Saudi Arabia and a state like Iran right now, a lot of people don't realize that even though Iran is considered our enemy and Saudi Arabia is considered our friend, Saudi Arabia and Iran are actually in some pretty deep conversations with one another right now currently. That doesn't mean that they're going to become friends anytime soon, but they are working some unique deals that would possibly make them down the road strategic partners, if you will. So if those two come together in a strategic alliance, again, not saying allies, but a strategic alliance, then where's that lead us at? You know, whose side are we going to be on here? Are we going to, you know, wake up and realize Saudi Arabia is really the devil that we we should have been paying focus with since 2001? Or are we just going to continue the path that we're at with Saudi Arabia and allow Saudi Arabia to serve kind of like the Qatari government in this recent bird dog exchange as a mediator between us and Iran? I don't know, but it is interesting, to say the least.
All right, let's go one step further. Really, the Saudi government they don't have a lot of big fans in Tehran. The House of Fahd is not well loved there. The House of Fahd understands this, and the question that I ask you all the time, really, can Saudi Arabia trust the Iranians, and can we, what happens to our friends, the Saudis, if they're in bed with the mullahs?
You know, personally, I could care less if the Saudis trust them or not, because I really do, and I've said it on your show multiple times, I think Saudi Arabia is a bigger evil than Iran is. To be very, very fair, you know, look at the difference in the cultural societies between the two nations. Just look at the way how the women are treated in Saudi Arabia versus Iran. If I was a woman, I'd much rather live in Iran than I would in Saudi Arabia. If I was a Jew, I'd much rather live in Iran than I would in Saudi Arabia. You know, so there's so many little micro factors that I take into consideration. And by the way, if you look at global terrorism, the global Islamic terrorism that we fight every single day. You know, what are the majority of them are Sunni sect Islamists, which derives out of Saudi Arabia. So, you know, for me, I think Saudi Arabia deserves a good, swift kick in the derriere. And maybe this will be the opportunity that they actually receive it, since, you know, the administration's neither Bush or, you know, the Obama administration want to listen to me, because I said we should have attacked Saudi Arabia longer before we should have went into Iraq or Afghanistan.
Well, we'd have that dollar a gallon gasoline, as we've heard so many times before.
Yeah, well, and again, we really don't even need to, you know, concern ourselves with oil or natural gas if we just, you know, took our heads out of the sand and realized that, you know, we have enough natural resources here in the United States and in Canada and other places in the world where, you know, theoretically speaking, we could actually shut down Russia and Saudi Arabia and Iran and Venezuela, all four at the same time, because of what we have within our own nation and our truest of allies when it comes to global natural resource exploration.
Kerry Patton with us, Kerry-Patton.com here at 580KIDO. What about the world? What do they think of us now, let's say, compared to 4 or even 8 years ago?
I'm sorry, can you say that again?
What does the world believe in us? What is our image abroad compared to 4 or 8 years ago?
Yeah, I mean, there's no question we lost a lot of street cred. You know, we were the superpower that should have been able to beat pretty much anybody. And interestingly enough, just like the Russians, we haven't really beat the Afghan, you know, anti-Afghan forces, i.e. the Taliban, HIG, you know, any of these groups. So, and everybody says, oh, you know, we beat them. Well, yeah, we did in 2002, 2003 at the latest. But the problem is we didn't realize we already won the fight and we stayed in it. And all of a sudden their buddies came alongside and started, you know, clobbering us with sucker punches. And now we're paying for it today.
Kerry Patton with us here at 580KIDO. I mean, what does the administration need to do? Do we have to, I mean, what message did Benghazi send?
Benghazi, you know, Benghazi, I'm convinced it's one of those freak incidents that happened during a time of war. And I think that's just where I stand on it. You know, I'm not going to place a finger at any one individual being responsible for what happened in Benghazi. Those that were responsible were the Islamists, not the Americans, nor anybody in this administration. The preventive state, yeah, there are some issues. There's bureaucracy issues that, you know, it could have been prevented. But, again, it was wrong time, wrong place, and our folks, you know, we lost some really good friends. But, you know, there's been a lot worse of tragedies that have unfolded, much worse than Benghazi, and nobody really talks about them. I mean, look at Takhar Gar in Afghanistan, that incident. How many people died during that? It was loads of people. I mean, I'm talking about Roberts Ridge, Operation Anaconda, and stuff like that. It was an absolute quagmire. But again, because, you know, it was an ambassador, and at the time, most Americans were on the Navy SEAL soapbox, you know, praising every single thing they do, which I understand. But, I mean, that's why Benghazi got the limelight that it received when there were other incidents that unfolded since this global war on terror that should have actually got a lot more attention, much more than what Benghazi got.
At 580K IDO, it seems like the administration is very pro-Navy SEAL.
I don't know if it's the administration necessarily or if it's the Navy doing one hell of a job continuously doing their recruitment. You know, I mean, the psyops that unfolds inside the Department of Navy, I don't want to say psyops like, you know, something to what it really is. But, I mean, they've been really good at promoting the Navy SEAL culture and mindset in society. And I think it's been an incredible recruitment campaign that they've got going on for them.
Yeah, but you and I always talk about that. Really, the SEALs don't usually talk. Remember when they had the big special forces thing, and you and I got in that debate about the guy who was on the Delta Force and on the TV show back and forth?
Yeah, yeah, I know, I do. And but again, there are SEALs that came forward because they were directed to come forward by their command leadership to say certain things. You know, the whole Xbox deal several years ago where some of the guys got in trouble. They got captain's mask, you know, for working with Xbox. Trust me, I assure you that they did not just do that on their own. I assure you that they were directed to go and work with the guys at Xbox. And then when all of a sudden it got leaked that this was happening, the command went crazy and they said, well, you know, we can't burn our own ranks, so let's go burn the guys below us. The guys that were involved, and that's how it unfolded.
More coming up with Kerry Patton next. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays noon till 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us. Kenny Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Kerry Patton with us, and I'm an extended interview today. Kerry, by the way, you can always catch Kerry's adventures at kerry-patton.com. Kerry, which do you prefer, actually doing the work, writing about the work, or doing the filming of the work? You know, you're a published author several times. You're in video projects with Hollywood. Which do you prefer?
Well, there's no question. I'd much rather prefer being out in the field working with the, you know, the people that you're surrounded by. There's no question about that. However, there's also a reality check with that. You know, I made a decision to no longer be out in the field doing what I did. Because of family reasons, personal and professional reasons, and now I moved on to other things. So writing was great. It was therapeutic for me, but now I became absolutely invigorated by the folks in Hollywood and the way how I've been treated and the way how I've been, you know, capable in working professional relationships with those folks. So, I mean, I love being out there with the folks in Hollywood, but you know, as I said, the writing was therapeutic, so it worked, but there's nothing that beats going out in the field.
Kerry, let's take a look at Bo Bergdahl. And I have a friend of mine, ML, from MinutemanRx.com, said, you know, Kerry has been talking about this for quite some time. Now that he's home, now that the brouhaha is happening, what say you?
You know, Bo Bergdahl, it's an interesting case. And I do know about his situation, and there was a reason why for a couple of years now, Kevin, when you've had me on the radio, I've refused to really talk about it, and it was because I know folks that were intimately close to the situation. And I'm not talking about members from his former unit. I'm talking about, again, go back to that network I was explaining to you, the civilian network, who were working in Afghanistan that I worked once with and very closely with. They were tracking ever since the moment he disappeared, and they were in communications with some very unique special people all the way up to the moment that he returned to Germany. So in that regard, I think what we need to do as citizens, forget that I know anything for a second and just understand the Joint Personnel Recovery Agency is the best of the best in what they do. And we need to let them do whatever it is that they deem fit, give them their space, let them come up for air. Once that happens, then we could get more insight from them. But I don't want this to become some Entertainment Weekly type, you know, escapade. I mean, this is a serious matter. And, you know, for more than anything, I think the folks that are working in the Joint Personnel Recovery Agency are going to be working around the clock trying to make things happen that are going to be the right thing to happen, and whether that means that they come up with an investigation that needs to unfold with criminal charges, so be it. If that means that this kid walks scot-free and gets honorably discharged, that's fine as well. But I want them to do their job without any political pressure.
Kerry, seeing that video of his release, did that remind you of any of your adventures?
Yeah, I mean, just looking at the scenery itself gives you kind of flashbacks, you know. Seeing some of the guys that get off the helicopter, you know, they could have been some of my friends for all I know. I'm not saying that they were by any means, but I'm just saying their appearance, the way how they did things, you know, it was very familiar. And then also seeing the guys, you know, come up in the Hilux, Toyota Hilux trucks wearing the bandana, waving the white Taliban flag on a stick, you know, or toting their AKs. You know, I've been around these guys, and I have buddies of mine that have been around them even more than I have, you know. It was a little bit interesting to see it all again.
I bet. I'm sure there were Apaches and AC gunships circling around just in case that situation went bad.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, trust me, those guys didn't go in there, you know, without knowing, God forbid, something were to happen to them, that whoever did the bad was going to be taken out as well.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking to myself, because they seem surrounded, but the situation could be misleading. What about the Taliban Five? What do you think about the trade for Bo Bergdahl?
How about this? Without me answering that directly, I want to challenge a little homework assignment to all your listeners, because I know they love doing their own research. I want them to go find all five names of those Taliban members that were released, and then go into open source and each one individually find out when they were nabbed, when they were, what they were involved in. Do your own homework. Go back and do your homework and see if you could find at least one of the alleged five, and see if he really was. Make your own conclusion. See if he was one of them that was really released or not.
What about Qatar? That's where the Taliban has like an official headquarters. And I'm thinking,
yeah,
what's up with that?
Yeah, I mean, well, Qatar is kind of like the Switzerland in the Middle East. they're pretty neutral, and we have known that terrorists have found safe refuge in Qatar for a long, long time. It's almost as if Qatar has an unofficial agreement. Hey, you know, you don't do anything in our country, we'll leave you alone, even though we know you're dirtballs. You know, and that's pretty much how it works. And, oh, by the way, for the Western nations that want to go nab these guys, you're not allowed to nab these guys in our country. We're just not going to allow it, because part of the agreement is they're not going to mess around in our country, nor will you.
What about the five? What becomes of them?
That's a good question. It's a good question. I don't have an answer.
I mean, is it hard to believe they're going to rest and hang out for five? You know, a year? Or will they be back in action?
Well, I think they're probably already back in action in one way or another. Anyway, you know, just by word of mouth on, you know, who they're talking to, even if it's the Qatari government. I assure you that the Qatari intelligence services are talking to these guys, and nobody should trust the Qatari intelligence services either. Because remember, Qatar is probably the biggest backer in the anti-Bashar al-Assad quagmire that's taking place in Syria right now. They have been working very closely with al-Qaeda elements and supporting them to see the overthrow of Bashar al-Assad.
Well, let's go to that at 580KIDO in this segment. What about the Pakistanis, our friends?
You know, there's some really good Pakistanis out there, and I don't want anybody to think otherwise. What people need to understand, though, is inside the government ranks in Pakistan, there's some really, really gnarly players. Wow, kind of sounds like our own government, right? But that is the stark truth. There definitely are some good Pakistanis that exist, and I think there's some really good government persons that exist in Pakistan. In fact, I actually know a few of them. But with that said, there's no question that there are sympathizers and supporters to the anti-Afghan forces that are part of Pakistan's intelligence service, the ISI. And we also know that Pakistan right now, their military, has been in a very unique war in the central eastern all the way up to the northern eastern border region of northern Waziristan going into Kunar province and Nangarhar and Nuristan, Afghanistan, where they've been doing a lot of mortar attacks in Afghanistan. So there's definitely a unique situation there, but I don't want to bash Pakistan as a whole, but I do think that would be idiots to believe that they're all good.
More with Kerry Patton next, Kerry-Patton.com. Kevin Miller.
Sean Hannity, weekday afternoons at 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning, Kerry Patton with us, talking about a lot of big issues. Kerry, does anybody like us in the world anymore? We've talked about the Afghanis, the Pakistanis, the Saudis. I mean, I guess we could end this hour with Putin, but before that, who does like us?
Oh, come on, man. We definitely have some friends out there. There's no question. I mean, look, I think Australia is probably, and I said this before, I think, on your show, I think Australia is by far our greatest ally. And then next to that, I would say Great Britain. But, yeah, we definitely have some friends out there. But, again, people are looking at what we're doing. They're looking at our foreign policy. And I think there are definitely concerns. And that's kind of like, you know, if I go out and buy a car and I'm married, and my wife looks at me like, hey, what are you doing buying a new car? You didn't need a new car. You know, she gets concerned, but it's not like we're going to lose our relationship necessarily. And I think there are a select group of nations that we have great relations with today, Australia being number one. I think the United Kingdom being another one, New Zealand, Germany. You know, I think they're out there.
Okay, let's get to our boy Putin, 70th anniversary of Normandy. The war to end all wars, too. Putin and Obama just kind of going back and forth there. What's up with old Vladimir?
You know, I think Vladimir's got all the cards in his deck that he needs right now to do pretty much whatever he really wants. When you look at the recent signing of the gas deal between Russia and China, it doesn't matter if Western Europe basically pulls the plug on Russian gas and finds alternative means for natural resources. It won't really hurt Russia too much because they just got this great deal with China. And I think if people understand that economic deal, then they understand that, you know, right now Vladimir Putin can pretty much do whatever he wants.
Well, that brings us to another point at 580 KIDO. Are we going to see the Soviet Union come back?
I don't know, and you know what, Kevin, that's a question that's been in my mind for several weeks now, and it concerns me. I think, you know, deep down inside, it could come back, but I don't believe it will come back. I think there are too many former Soviet bloc nations who have seen freedom, got a good taste of it, and they realize it wasn't easy by any means during the transition, but it was worth it. And because of that, you know, what we're going to find is, I think, possibly some several civil wars in these nations that come from pro-Russian, you know, backers, kind of like what we saw in the Ukraine.
Kerry Patton with us, Kay Milley in the morning, 580 KIDO, which brings us to the world we live in today. And you talk about the former Soviet satellites, the former Warsaw Pacts. One particular country that has been betrayed by the West and hopefully never will ever be again, Poland.
Yep.
Are we going to stand up for the Poles this time?
I pray that we do, because they've been such an extraordinary ally in so many ways, more than just military, obviously, and just their science alone, capabilities that they've assisted the United States with our technology and so forth has been unprecedented. And I do believe that would be a straw that the international community would absolutely go bonkers over, would be if Putin decided to make the move closer to Poland. I just do not see the Western free world allow that to happen.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. You've been through the process of debriefing. Let's quickly go back to Bo Bergdahl. A story a couple days ago, he won't talk to his family. From what I understand, the folks in Landstuhl and the folks at Sam Houston really don't want him to talk to his family until he's emotionally ready to do that. Are we making more of this story than it is?
Yeah, we could be. We could definitely be making it more than what it is. And to be very fair, I'm actually against Bo speaking to any of his family or friends for that matter right now. And I don't mean that from a punishment standpoint. Again, I think due process is critical here. But I'm in that standpoint because he needs to get his own personal clarity because he's in such a mental fragile state right now.
Kerry Patton, once again, we appreciate the time, the effort, the energy. If people want to hang out with you, buy a book, what can they do?
Yes, go to my Twitter account, CarePat14, or you can follow me at my website, Kerry-Patton.com. You know, pretty much you'll find everything there.
Kerry, I'm sure you've heard this before. You're a great American.
So are you, brother. So are you.
Kerry, thank you very much. Have a great day.
Hey, you too, buddy. I'll talk to you.
Okay, bye-bye. Bye. Our friend Kerry Patton, Kevin Miller in the morning.